Gracious and holy God, we give you thanks for the gift of your word. Help us now to reflect upon it that we may hear you speaking to us, that we may grow in our relationship with you, our relationship with each other, and in the ministry of servanthood that you call us to in the world we live in. In Jesus' name we pray. Please be seated. Who can stand in the presence of God? Who can experience the holiness of God? Who can enter the sacred presence of God? Those are good questions that the psalmist poses as part of our psalm for this morning, Psalm 24, a wonderful psalm. And it was actually likely a liturgical processional hymn. And it was likely used as the people of Israel would climb the holy mountain and make their way to the holy city to enter into the holy temple. And it was a fitting question to ask the people of Israel as they made their way into that most holy and that most sacred sanctuary in that most holy and that most sacred city. Who can stand in the presence of God? Who can experience the holy? Who can encounter the sacred? And it's equally fitting to ask that question today, as we come to this worship service, as we come into this holy and this sacred space, to acknowledge the holy and the sacred relationship that we have with God, lived out in our relationship with each other, and lived out as we minister in the world around us. It's a good question for us to ask too. Who among us can stand in the presence of God? Who among us can experience the holiness of God? Who among us can encounter the sacred? And the question that we often would go to is, am I good enough to stand in the presence of God? Am I worthy enough to be in that sacred space? Am I good enough to experience the holiness of God? So let's take a survey. How many of us would answer that question by saying, no, I'm not worthy, I'm not good enough? And how many of us would respond by saying, yes, I am worthy. Yes, I am good enough. And the truth of the answer to that question is both are the correct answers. Because no, we are not worthy in and of ourselves to stand in the presence of God. We are not worthy in and of ourselves to experience the holiness of God. We are not worthy in and of ourselves to encounter the sacred of God. But yes, we are worthy. Yes, we are good enough because God makes us worthy. God makes us good enough. And that's what it means for us to be followers of Jesus Christ. Because that's how God has made us worthy. That's how God has made us good enough to be in that holy, sacred presence of God. Now, the psalmist answers his own question. Who can stand in the presence of God? Who can experience the holiness of God? Those who have clean hands and a pure heart. Clean hands. Do you think the psalmist means washing our hands with soap and water? Or protecting our hands from germs by wearing surgical gloves? Or making our hands sterile from using Purell? We live in an age when we're very conscious of clean hands, aren't we? But do you think that's what the psalmist is talking about? I don't think so. I think the psalmist is talking, figuratively speaking, a spiritual truth and a spiritual approach to living our lives faithfully as children of God and followers of Jesus Christ. And when we do that, I think the psalmist is referring to an attitude of hope and grace and mercy and forgiveness and joy and compassion and faithfulness and any other discipline that God would hope his children will embody, that you and I will embody in the lives we live and the relationships that we share with one another. That our hands would look like that, with all of those descriptives written on our hands as we live them out in relationship with each other and in relationship with the world around us, faithfully as the children of God that we are called to be and disciples of Jesus Christ. And I think the same is true of a pure heart. A pure heart. So if you were to describe someone who has a pure heart, what are some of the words or phrases that you might use? What do you think? Loving, forgiving, kind, honest, unselfish, compassionate. Here's a list that I came up with. Caring, forgiving, non-judgmental, compassionate, generous, kind, patient, positive, contributing to the kingdom, showing respect and dignity to all people, seeking out justice. And that list is familiar from another part of Scripture as well. The letter that Paul wrote to the Galatians, he described the fruits of the Spirit. And he said the fruits of the Spirit are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. All part of what it means to have a pure heart. And think about our baptismal covenant. We express in there our commitment to embrace a heart that is pure by God's grace. Think of the questions. Will you seek and serve Christ in all persons, loving your neighbor as yourself? Will you work for justice and peace among all people and respect the dignity of every human being? Will you have a pure heart as you live your life as a child of God and as a follower of Jesus Christ? That's our calling. That's our commitment, to have a pure heart. And to me, right at the very center, to have a pure heart is about being faithful to God. It's about knowing God and loving God and serving God as faithful children of God. And the truth is, we can't do it on our own. Our human condition gets in the way. Sin gets in the way. It may be things that we say or do, or things we leave unsaid or undone. It may be things that we do intentionally or unintentionally, consciously or unconsciously, sometimes known to us and other times unknown to us. And we need that hand of God. We need God's grace. We need to know God's love for us. We need to know God's mercy to help us become those faithful followers of Jesus Christ that we are called to be, with the cleanest of hands and the purest of hearts. Now imagine what the body of Christ could do when our hands are indeed clean, when our hearts are indeed pure, and when they're clean and pure, not just for our own benefit, but even more so for the benefit of those who are around us, those whom we as the church are called to serve. Imagine. Think about how we can nurture those disciplines that allow us to have clean hands and pure hearts. Reading the Scriptures and reflecting upon them, not just on what they said 2,000 years ago, but what do they say now, in your life, in my life, in our life together? Praying individually and in groups. Coming together in worship and sharing fellowship with other members of the body of Christ as we do today. Coming to the table to be fed. Going out into the world to look, to find, to see the face of Christ in others. And to enter into those ministries of servanthood that God invites us into. And doing all of that not out of obligation, not out of guilt, but with great joy in our hearts and in our souls, because that's what God calls us to do. And that's what God calls us to do in the everyday ordinariness of life. Let me share with you one example of how we as people can have an impact, even a small impact, on one person that makes a difference out of our clean hands and our pure hearts. This past Friday, I was part of the More Than Gold program at the Pan Am opening ceremonies at the Rogers Center. And there were thousands of people there. And when it came time for it all to end about 11 o'clock at night, there was the road outside of the Rogers Center was completely closed to traffic, so that all of those people could make their way and get to where they needed to be to get their ride home. And so you can imagine across four lanes of a road the number of people that there are walking in the same direction. Something struck me so poignantly and so profoundly that sitting in the middle of that road was a homeless man with his cap. And the people walking towards him and around him. And they just kept walking towards him and around him. And I wondered if anyone actually saw him. I wonder if anybody actually paid any attention to him. As people with clean hands and pure hearts, as gifts from God, we're called to pay attention to that individual, to see them, to recognize them. I saw a few individuals in that area who had their caps out. And I don't carry much money with me anymore because I use debit cards everywhere. And so I would be walking either up to them or past them, and I'd look at them and I'd smile at them and I'd say, "You know, I'm sorry, I don't have any change that I can give you." And you know what? They looked up and they said, "That's okay." And what they were basically saying to me is, "You don't have to give me any change. You recognized me. You said hello. You said, 'I'm sorry that you're in the position you're in.' You say, 'I wish I could do more.'" We don't always have to put something in the cup or the cap. We are using the clean hands that God has given us and the pure hearts that God has bestowed upon us to just authenticate that individual and say, "You are a child of God too." I wonder what would happen if we did more of that. And if we opened our eyes and saw the face of Christ in those men and women, old and young. I wonder. We might exactly in that moment experience the presence of God. In that conversation with that individual, we might just experience a moment of holiness and grace. And I have no doubts that we will encounter the sacred in that moment. No doubts. And that is God's desire for us, His children. That we too will climb the holy mountain. That we too will have those clean hands and pure hearts so that we can experience that holiness and truly experience the sacredness of God. And that's God's desire for us, not just today in our worship, but every single day of our lives. In every single relationship that we have with every single person we meet, Yes, we're not worthy in and of ourselves. We're not good enough in and of ourselves. But God makes us worthy. God makes us good enough. And so let's humbly seek to attain that spiritual depth within ourselves through a growing relationship with God, who spiritually enriches our experience of life. For that is God's desire as He blesses us in ways that we can't even anticipate. So, brothers and sisters in Christ, let's embrace the truth that our hands are made clean by God's grace. And let's live with hearts made pure through God's love, through God's mercy. Let's climb the holy mountain. Let's see the presence of God. Let's experience the holiness of God. Let's recognize an encounter with the one who is truly sacred. Amen.